You may be seated. Welcome all of you to the First Presbyterian Church, and especially thank you from the Stapleton family and relatives for being here to celebrate Cy, his life, and to rejoice in his resurrection. So we are indeed glad that you are here. Libby and I were talking the other day, and for those of you that knew Cy well, you know that he had a real interest, love, and fascination with history, especially World War II history. The kids today were appropriately handing out American flags because we knew his love of country. And he went to be with the Lord on D-Day. So I don't know if he arranged that with God or not, but how fitting for Cy. And I can't claim to know everything that goes on in heaven, but what I do know, because of what I've witnessed in this, especially last year, is that whatever rejoicing and joy and celebrating that's going on up there right now, if we could hear Cy, I know he would want the family to hear, thank you. That I know. For your love, your care, your relationship, for just being a family that made him feel blessed. And I know that as Scripture says, wives, love your husbands. Libby, there's no doubt you did. And when it says, children, honor your father and mother, there's no doubt that what happened in your home was just that. So I hope you'll find some comfort in knowing that you were wonderful in carrying out God's will. But like the psalmist in Psalm 121, let us, in this time of saying goodbye, have some faith that looks up to heaven. And like the psalmist, we say, as a statement of faith, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And we respond with, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and the one who created and made Cy's life in love. What I hope you realize during this memorial service, and we try to grapple with death, we need to understand, thanks be to Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the grave, death is not something to be feared. You see, Jesus faced death. He went through it. He destroyed it, and that's why he rose. And when he rose, he's trying to let us know, I've even destroyed death. I've conquered it. So now there's not anything that's going to keep you from being in God's love, not only right now today, but forever. And so death can be seen as a door that Jesus opens. He reaches through. He takes us by the hand, and he welcomes us to our eternal home, which I will read about later in John chapter 14. But what I do like about Cy, as with many things he did, is I knew from my conversations and visits with him that he did indeed believe he wasn't about to die, but he would be going forth to live. And that is so much of why he was able to take that diagnosis of cancer and just forge ahead like no big deal. So we can rejoice in that. So let us find comfort as we let God speak to us words of resurrection and joyous life eternal. For Scripture says, I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And because I live, you also will live. If you will, open your bulletins and join me in our call to worship. Gracious is our God who hears our cries. We come here today to cry out with confident hope that God is listening to us. Holy is our God, who never lets death have the final word. We come here to bear witness to the resurrection in Christ and in us. We come here today to release our grief, to allow ourselves to be transformed, and begin to find joy in the midst of heartache. Thanks be to Christ who makes this possible. If you will, let us pray. We do gather and come to thank you, O God, for the wonderful gift of sigh in our lives. We do offer to you prayers of great gratitude for our time together, for his incredible love and great joy of family, for his deep, deep sense of patriotism and service to our nation, for his friendship to all he met, for his place in your church, for how the family has been so devoted to love and to cherish, especially in these days of late. For all of this, we come and offer our praise. I know that Cy was blessed to have Libby as his bride since 1973, and I know that she has been blessed by the years together. And so as we give thanks for his life and our time together, may we never forget the courage that you gave him to face a battle with cancer and be able to say with confidence that he knew his life had been well cared for, that he was indeed one who was blessed. We know Cy has gone forth to live in the comfort of your eternal peace, where there are no tears and where any sorrow is transformed into joy. That place where perfect love fills every heart. And so even though he has departed from this earthly place, we celebrate his entrance into the church triumphant and his place among the cloud of faithful witnesses. As we are glad for him, we come asking that in our grief of saying goodbye for now, you would be for us, O God, our help in every time of trouble. Our request is you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort and strengthen us so that we too may have hope of eternal life and go from this gathering to trust in your goodness and mercy each and every day. Assure the family that the love in which we rejoice for a time is not lost, that Cy is indeed with you, made perfect and complete in your eternal love. By your power, and only as you can do, turn the shadow of death into the brightness of morning light as you announce in resurrection the dawn of a new day. In the peace of your presence, speak to us of eternal things so that hearing your promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted above our distress. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you notice on the bulletin cover, there is a green pasture full of sheep. And we will hear from that familiar Psalm 23, what a great privilege it is to have the Lord as our shepherd. For you see, he can not only lead our lives according to God's will, but it talks about passing through the valley of the shadow of death or the darkest valley. Well, I want you to know, Jesus Christ didn't pass through the shadow of death. For us, he passed through death itself. And as I said, he came out victorious on the other side. And so death is not even something we fear. For if it comes, he can lead us even through that. And this familiar song says, you know, even if you're surrounded on all sides by enemies, guess what? The Lord can still bless you there. He can anoint you. He can even there, if surrounded by conflict on all sides, see to it that your cup overflows. And so this psalm is a wonderful psalm of faith, and it should encourage us to place our trust and our hope and our life in Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Here, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Because we have such reassurance, not only of God's presence, but God's provision, let's lift up our praise, and let's do that by singing one of Cy's favorite hymns, Amazing Grace. If you will, take your pew hymnals. You can turn to hymn 280. Let's stand and sing together, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, hymn 280. may be seated. You know, God has a place for each and every one of us. It's why we were created and born into this world, and God made us so that our place would be with Him. Living according to His will today, tomorrow, and forever. And Jesus wanted to secure that place, and so He knew that He would have to go to a cross and become the sacrifice that took the punishment our sins deserved so that we could be forgiven. And then He knew He would have to remove this thing called death so that nothing could keep us from being in God's will right now, today, and forever. And so with those who were going to arrest Him fast approaching, He knew that for His followers it was going to be difficult. See, they had the joy of following this motivating leader, but He would soon be taken from them. He would be treated with injustice. He would be falsely accused. He would be savagely abused and hung on a cross and left to die. And so for His followers, Jesus knew, wow, it's about to get crazy. It's about to get hard. They're going to wonder, you know, if I really was from God and what in the world God is up to with all this that's happening. And so in His words, right before His arrest, He wants to say, don't be troubled. You may not see everything that I'm doing behind the scenes. You may not realize what God is up to, but I'm going to go make a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and ensure to it that you can be where I am. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And so He looked at the disciples. He said that. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, but believe in also in Me. For in My Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to Myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you know Me, you will know My Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I had some good visits with Si. He was good at making anybody he met feel it at home. He certainly did that with me, and we had some conversations. And he, in his sharing, let me know that he had this sense that, you know, God's got the whole world in His hands. And because God has the whole world in His hands, Si didn't necessarily sweat the small stuff. He could really leave, you know, the outcome of things up to God, and that set him free to enjoy life. Not just enjoy it, but maybe have a sense of adventure. And because God's got the whole world in His hands, I think I'll jump out of an airplane with a parachute over 1,500 times and not really worry about that later on I might have to have 3 knee surgeries to get myself well again. I'm going to enjoy the thrill of life and leave the details to God. And because he'd been in the printing business, he wanted to set up a Renaissance festival, you know, a historical, you know, print shop, and he could just go there and run that and just have fun with life because God's got the whole world in His hands. And I don't have to sweat the small stuff. But what I like most is how he did view people, whether it be you, his family, which he did so love and adore, or the minister that came knocking on his door to have a word of prayer, or just someone he met. He knew that how we greet one another is important, and it has its influence. And so I'm going to read to you briefly from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It's going to talk a lot about, you know, what's going to happen in the future and what the end times are going to be about. But it says basically what we ought to focus us on is how we treat and welcome one another. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you don't need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there'll be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God is not destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I think Si knew that outside of God, family was the most rewarding connection that anybody could have. But I do think he had a good sense of connecting with others. And if we do that well, as Thessalonians was encouraging us to do in faith and in love, greet one another with a kiss, in other words, with a good welcome, we could make a wonderful difference in the lives of one another. He even wrote the obit that you see in the bulletin. And listen to what he says in one paragraph. Shortly before his death, Si was asked if he had any fear of death. He said, "Not at all. I've had a wonderful life. I've had 46 of marriage to the most incredible woman I've ever met. I have 3 incredible daughters who have married incredible men and have given me 8 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. I've traveled the world. I've met and socialized with many of the world's movers and shakers in the military and entertainment and politics, etc. I'm living with cancer now. And when the good Lord decides it's my time to join him, I'm ready." And I do think it is with that attitude of faith and love that Si was able to embrace life and connect with others. I don't think that the military asking him to be a court reporter was an accident or something just arbitrary, because, you know, writing is one of the most profound ways to communicate with others. And so I found a real love of that, and it's why he went on into the publishing business after his service in the military and attending West Point. It was a way to communicate, maybe even to people he didn't even know. but it was a way to connect. But I do know that even though he didn't recite to me the Apostles' Creed, he did have a faith that assured him he was connected to the Lord, and that was to his benefit. He had an attitude that Max Lucado wrote about, and I want to share it with you because I think it's the way God wants us to view life. Instead of getting hung up on all the temporal things, we should make the most of serving and in influencing one another, because we're going to end up in eternity, which maybe Jesus let him parachute into. But Max Lucado wrote this. It's titled Temporary Castles. And I think it embraces a lot of size attitude. A little boy is on the beach. On his knees, he scoops and he packs the sand with plastic shovels into a bright red bucket. Then he upends the bucket on the surface and lifts it. And to the delight of the little architect, a castle tower is created. All afternoon, he will work, spooning out the moat, packing the walls. Bottle tops will be sentries. Popsicle sticks will be bridges. A sandcastle will be built. Big city, busy streets, rumbling traffic. A man in his office. At his desk, he shuffles papers into stacks and delegates assignments. He cradles the phone on his shoulder and punches the keyboard with his fingers. Numbers are juggled and contracts are signed, and much to the delight of the man, a profit is made. All his life, he will work, formulating the plans, forecasting the future. Annuities will be sentries, capital gains will be bridges, an empire will be built. Two builders of castles. They have much in common. They shape granules into grandeurs. They see nothing and make something. They're diligent and determined. And for both, the tide will rise and the end will come. Yet that's where the similarities cease. For the boy sees the end while the man ignores it. Watch the boy as dusk approaches. As the waves near, the wise child jumps to his feet and he begins to clap. There is no sorrow, no fear, no regret. He knew this would happen. He is not surprised. And then the great breaker crashes onto his castle and his masterpiece is sucked into the sea. He smiles. He smiles. Picks up his tools, takes his father's hand, and goes home. The grown-up, however, is not so wise. As the waves of years collapse on his castle, he's terrified. He hovers over the sandy monument to protect it. He blocks the waves from the walls he has made. Salt water soaked and shivering, he snarls at the incoming tide. It's my castle, he defies. The ocean need not respond. Both know to whom the sand belongs. I don't know much about sandcastles, but children do. Watch them and learn. Go ahead and build, but build with a child's heart. When the sun sets and the tides take, applaud. Salute the process of life. Take your father's hand and go home. Cy saluted life, not just his country, and not just the pride that he had in going to West Point. He knew that the life of adventure was from God, and he knew that there was even more to come as the tide came in. And so we can give thanks that he has gone on to victory. with that in mind, I want us to just lift our prayers to God, and I will say the Lord's Prayer, and when I do, I invite you to join me, but let us go to the Lord in prayer. As we come before you in prayer, O Lord, let us know our end and the number of our days, that we may learn how precious and fleeting life is. In the grandeur of your mercy, do not be silent at our tears. By your Holy Spirit, grant us faith to see beyond touch and sight some sure sign of your kingdom. And where our vision fails, help us to trust your love that never does. By your abundant grace, give us a good hope in Jesus, that we may bravely walk our earthly way and look forward to glad reunion in the life that is sure to come. By your steadfast love, make us able to commit not only ourselves, but those that we love to your unfailing care. And as a variety of remembrances of Si play out in our hearts, be with both family and friends to remind us of Si's recent victory over death. Thank you that his baptism has been made complete and that he receives his crown of glory due to your grace. Help us all live by faith as we look forward to the day when you bring the whole church and all the saints, both the living and the departed, to a most joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of the eternal kingdom, as we come praying to you the way in which Jesus taught us by praying together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final reading is from Revelation 21. And you know, I said this to the family when Si went to be with the Lord, but there's not a lot that Scripture says about heaven, because I think that if we got a real clear picture of how awesome it's going to be, we might hasten our way there. And God wants us to learn to live by faith in him while we are here. But this gives us a glimpse, and this would be a lot what it is probably like for Si right now. John, when he was on the island of Patmos, had this vision, and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. And he also said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This will be our last prayer, and this is where we entrust Si's life to God's eternal keeping. Let us pray. Most merciful Heavenly Father, Messiah ends his adventure in this life and awakens into the perfect joy of the one that is forever. We thank you and praise you for the Christ who redeemed Cyril Darwin Stapleton. We thank you for your Holy Spirit which sustained him. And we thank you and praise you for your eternal love which now brings him home. And it is in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life that we do now commend to you your servant, our dear brother in Christ, Cyril Darwin Stapleton. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. And we ask this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to give the benediction, and then you will hear taps played on the trumpet by Scott. And when taps is over, I'll escort the family out. But before I give the benediction, which will be followed by taps, I want you to think about this. Taps for the military is played each night to mark the close of the day. That is what we will be hearing. We can be glad for his patriotism and service to his country. But because of resurrection, Cy's not hearing taps, he's hearing reveille. That's what the military plays each morning to announce to all the troops. It's the dawn of a brand new day. So as we're hearing taps, Cy is hearing reveille. Please stand for the benediction. Love one another as Christ has loved you. For it is love which remains even after we are gone. So go knowing that the love of God goes with you, the peace of Jesus Christ will fill you, and the presence of the Holy Spirit will empower you for the rest of your days and forevermore. Amen.